The Rutledge would like to speak in favor of LB 1504 in its amended version.
Senator Hobbins, Representative Hinkin, members of the Utilities Energy Committee. I'm Dick Davies. I'm here in support. You have my written testimony, but I would comment a little bit on that testimony. You'll notice that I've said that I'm in qualified support for the original version of the bill as written and stronger support in the amended version of it. And the next two paragraphs were really written before I saw the amended version of the bill. And it wrestled with the same issue that Senator Mills and other people who have spoken today have been wrestling with. How do you quantify these sort of things? How do you try and ensure that wind power is going to have a positive effect on the price of electricity? I must say that I have some concern in trying to put into statute that wind power development is going to reduce the price of electricity for a lot of reasons, one of which has already been mentioned, that it's going to be a relatively small portion of the total quantity of power being generated, and its ability to single-handedly lower the price of electricity against the force of energy prices rising and others suggests that putting language in there really needs to be qualified or written in some different fashion. Clearly, there are a lot of forces that it's going to be struggling against in order to achieve some reduction in the price of electricity, which is why when I saw the proposal that Senator Mills presented today and had a chance to talk with Pete Dittesheim about it, it really crystallized in my mind that this was a more rational way of approaching the problem, and that while it may not be a perfect solution, it goes a long way towards addressing some of the uncertainty that lies out there and helps avoid the problem that occurs when perhaps one community is more effective in negotiating with a potential developer and another is not. I think that it goes about addressing that. It also begins addressing one of the problems that we've been hearing about for the last couple of months of some concern about wind development in general. And while much of that concern, I think, that's being expressed about wind development appears to be coming from residents of communities who are being affected by this, and some of them are simply opposed to wind in general, and even if the wind project were 200 miles away from their home, they might still be in opposition to it. But there are a lot of folks who express concerns, in part because they want to know, what are we getting back in return for this deal? It's very clear what the developer would be getting, the ability to build a project that has a potential over a long period of time to generate the developer a very sizable amount of money, even in the face of the very high financing costs that they face. It's a little bit more nebulous about the host community and what they're going to get out of that. And while some of what Pete Dittesheim showed you indicates that some communities have been doing quite well at negotiating those sort of deals, I think being able to assure all communities are going to get some fair return for what they are giving up is an important development. And I think that this is a very useful way of approaching the problem and would support it very strongly. And I can say that I passed along the idea to the governor the other day after having a chance to talk with Pete Dittesheim. And the feedback I got from a member of his staff earlier today was the governor was very interested in the idea, liked it a great deal. So one more endorsement in support of the idea. I'd be glad to try to answer any questions the committee may have.
Thank you very much, Representative Fletcher.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the work session. And you've been through this 100 times. If we impose a fee, $14,000 per meg, what are the possibilities of getting that back to the consumer to lower their cost of electricity? You know, how could we do that if, in fact, that is something we wanted to do?
I think clearly one way that we've already seen a little bit of development on, and I hope we're going to see some more in the very near future. In fact, the Commission may be even deliberating a second long-term contract today as we speak. The long-term contracts have the ability to have an arm's-length negotiation between the Commission staff and the developers to come up with something that's beneficial to both sides. The project that we saw that First Wind proposed has a good possibility, and the Commission did accept that. That's one way that you can provide some assurance that over the long term that there's going to be some lesser price for that energy than otherwise you would be paying. But as I indicated, it's dicey because that small drop in the bucket has to offset a lot of other big drops that may be going in the opposite direction. And so we need to find ways to encourage even more developers to use long-term contracts and maybe develop some other tools that were discussed in previous sessions with the committee but not accepted, and maybe time to go back and revisit some of those ideas to see if we can build an array of things in addition to the host community benefits that provide real and measurable benefits in the long term.
And if I may, Mr. Chairman, and which is leading me to this long-term contracting idea, how does that mesh into 14,000 equivalent? And here's the gist of my question. If you negotiate a long-term contract, that's got pluses and minuses both to the generator as well as everything else. So if we've got a standard fee that's the benefit to the community, how do we integrate that into the long-term contracting approach, which gets at the whole issue of how much the generator is going to give up, so to speak.
That's a very good question, and I don't have an answer. And I'm not sure I'm going to have one at the work session, but I'll give it some thought.
I'm sure you will.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.